translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose incarnations and activities are chanted by us for glorification, though he can hardly be fully known as He is. Purport. It is said that the transcendental name, form, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia, personality, etc., cannot possibly be perceived by the gross materialistic senses. But when the senses are purified by the process of hearing, chanting, remembering and worshipping the lotus feet of the holy deity, etc., the Lord reveals Himself proportionately to the advancement of the quality of devotional service. Yeyatha mam prapadyante. One should not expect the Lord to be an order supplying agent who must be present before us as soon as we desire to see Him. We must be ready to undergo the prescribed devotional duties, following the path shown by the predecessors in the disciplic succession from Brahma, Narada, and similar authorities. As the senses are progressively purified by bona fide devotional service, the Lord reveals His identity according to the spiritual advancement of the devotee. But one who is not in the line of devotional service can hardly perceive Him, simply by calculations and philosophical speculations. Such a hard worker can present a jugglery of words before an audience, I hope I don't do so, but can never know the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His personal feature. The Lord has clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita that one can know Him only by devotional service. No one can know the Lord by any puffed-up material process of challenge, but the humble devotee can please the Lord by his earnest devotional activities. Thus, the Lord reveals Himself proportionately before the devotee. Lord Brahma, therefore, offers His respectful obeisances as a bona fide spiritual master, and advises us to follow the process of Shravana and Kirtana. Simply by this process, or simply by hearing and chanting the glories of the activities of the Lord's incarnation, one can certainly see within himself the identity of the Lord. We have already discussed this subject in Volume 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with this verse. Tachradana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pasyantyatmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta grihitaya. This is a quotation from 1 to 12. The conclusion is that one cannot know the Supreme Personality of Godhead fully by any method, but He can be seen and felt partially by the devotional service process of hearing, chanting, etc. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate grim yat kripatamaham bande shi gurundina tarinam. So this chapter is called Purusha Sukta Confirmed. And I must say it's not Shukta, because Shukta means nice preparation from Bengal. And Sukta means hymn. So put the hymn of Purusha. Does anyone of you have an idea or would like to guess why is it called Purusha Sukta Confirmed? It's interesting. Anyone has any idea? Would you like to hear?
Yes.
I was very curious about it, and I've always been thinking, why is it confirmed? Who has confirmed it? And I tried to do a little bit of research, and I came to see one short video clip by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. You know Chaitanya Charan Prabhu? He's been here a few times. He's a very scholarly devotee. He's presents Krishna consciousness in a very scientific way. And he explained, actually, that Purusha Sukta, there's another Purusha Sukta found in the Rig Veda. And it's at 10:17 of the Rig Veda. And there's a cluster of hymns describing the same Purusha who is described in this section of the Bhagavatam. And he said that this actually, the Purusha is the primeval person or the original person from whom everything emanated in this creation. So he became the origin of humanity, of the four varnas, and he gave all the ingredients for the creation. And we've been learning in this chapter, actually, how Krishna is the origin of everything. Everything emanates from him. And he is the ingredient cause of the creation as well as the efficient cause. So all the ingredients that are necessary for the creation come from Krishna. And then why confirmed? He said that in the Rig Veda, it's not really clear who that Purusha is. So here, Shukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam confirms that this is Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, who is the origin of everything, of the creation, of all the material, spiritual worlds. He is the he is the origin of everything. So that's why it's confirmed here that Purusha is actually Sri Krishna. It's an interesting fact. So from this verse we learn Lord Brahma is saying that no one can actually fully understand Krishna and fully know Krishna. Nayam vidanti tatvena. No one can know him in truth. Actually, tatvena means sense percent as he is. We can gain some partial knowledge of Krishna, and but actually no one can really know him fully. Only he himself knows. Sometimes it's said that even he is bewildered by himself. Not bewildered, but he's wondering about his own identity, his glories, his personality. And he is enchanted by himself. You know that famous example when Krishna was once, he was in Varaka and looking in the pillar, and the pillar, he could see his own reflection in the pillar, and he was mesmerized by his own beauty and like that. So Krishna is very difficult to know, and in this purport, Prabhupada explains what is the real bona fide way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. A few verses before this one, in the same chapter, Lord Brahma said the following, that's in 2:6:35. Lord Brahma said, although I am known as the great Brahma, perfect in the disciplic succession of Vedic wisdom, and although I have undergone all austerities and am an expert in mystic powers and self-realization, and although I am recognized as such by the great forefathers of the living entities who offer me respectful obeisances, still I cannot understand him, the Lord, the very source of my birth. Yes, you see, even Lord Brahma is not able to fully understand Krishna. And he says, in this verse, today's verse, he says, let us offer respectful obeisances on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose incarnations and activities are chanted by us for glorification, though he can hardly be fully known as he is. So like that, we should understand that we cannot fully understand Krishna, but to some degree we can understand it. And then Prabhupada explains that actually he begins the purport with, by saying it is the transcendental name, form, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia are not possible to be perceived by our gross senses. Does anyone know which verse he's referring to here? Anyone? Yes, Govinda Prabhu? Yes. Yes. Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graham Indri Sevan Mukhe Hijeva Do. You know, this verse appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Do you know where in Chaitanya Charitamrita it appears? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chants this verse. When Lord Chaitanya goes to the capital of the impersonalists, Varanasi, yes. He does his usual thing. You know, he chants and dances and, you know, engages everyone in ecstatic kirtan. But the Mayavadis, they don't appreciate that. And one Mayavadi in particular was not very happy about it. Prakashananda Saraswati. So, you know, one Brahmana actually speaks with Prakashananda Saraswati and he expresses his, you know, enthusiasm and appreciation of Lord Chaitanya. And then they have a little conversation and Prakashananda Saraswati actually, he refers to Lord Chaitanya, but he doesn't, he mentions the name Chaitanya in the conversation three times, but he doesn't mention Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna Chaitanya. He's not just Chaitanya, he's Krishna Chaitanya. And then the Brahmana later on goes to Lord Chaitanya and, you know, he reveals this incident and he says, why doesn't he chant? He didn't say the name Krishna. The name Krishna didn't appear on his tongue. And Lord Chaitanya explains, and he chants this verse. He quotes this verse. This verse also appears in Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami. So he explains that one who is not purified, sufficiently purified by the process of devotional service, cannot actually grasp the personality, not grasp, no one can grasp Krishna, but cannot understand with the material senses, the imperfect material senses. So our senses are not able to understand Krishna unless they become purified. And so this verse says, Sevan Mukhe Hi Jiva Dau. So we cannot understand Krishna with our gross material senses. But if we start performing devotional service, if we engage those same senses in devotional service by starting with the tongue, Sevan Mukhe Hi Jiva Dau. Jiva Dau means the tongue, Adi, Jiva Ado, etc. So all the different senses. Then we can get some understanding by by the mercy of Krishna, actually. And Srila Prabhupada explains that in this purport. He says that no one who is not in the line of devotional service can hardly perceive him, that means Krishna, simply by calculations and philosophical speculations. Such a hard worker can present a jugglery of words before an audience, but can never know the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal feature. And it's a fact that there are many people who try to speak on the Vedas, they try to explain the Supreme Personality, they try to explain the Supreme Lord, but a lot of these people, these persons who try to explain him, are just using word jugglery. They actually cannot perceive him. And I probably come under that category, unfortunately, because I must say I have no realization of Krishna whatsoever. And Krishna actually has to reveal himself. There's no other way we can understand him. We cannot understand Krishna by our own strength, by our own endeavors alone. We can show him our desire to understand him and to realize him, but he has to give his blessing. You know, this oftentimes during Kartik, especially during the month of Damodar, we every morning we chant these wonderful prayers in glorification of Damodar. And in that particular pastimes, the acharyas explained the reason why when Madhya Yashoda tried to bind Krishna, she was always two fingers, you know, the rope was two fingers too short, yeah. And then the acharyas explained that Madhya Yashoda, she was going back and forth, trying, bringing more ropes, you know, putting them together. It was always two fingers too short. So the acharyas explained that the two fingers represent that there's two things required for us to understand Krishna and one is our own personal endeavor. But the other one is Krishna's mercy. So without Krishna's mercy, we cannot really understand him. So, and how do we get Krishna's mercy? Prabhupada says in the purport, Yeya tam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. So by the process of prapadyante, so proportionately, Prabhupada gives it very nicely, actually, in the purport. He says that, let me find it. Yeah. So the Lord reveals himself proportionately to the advancement of the quality of devotional service. So the quality, depending on the quality of our devotional service, Krishna will reveal himself. So what do you think should be the quality of our devotional service? And what is a high quality of devotional service? Anyone would like to make a suggestion? Yes, Srinivas Prabhu. Okay, so we should serve Krishna without duplicity. Okay, that's good. Yeah? Yes, Prabhu? Sorry?
Following the order of the spiritual master.
So, being a humble servant of our spiritual master.
Yes, and other servants, of course.
Okay. We're speaking about the quality of devotional service, yes? So we understood we should be non-duplicitous and surrender to the spiritual master. Yes, Prabhu?
Attentive.
We should be attentive. Yes, I like this one. Thank you. Nishkinchana Chaitanya. Okay, all right. So, yes. Haitukya Pratyata. Okay, yeah. Yes, the Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, explains that devotional service is pleasing to Krishna when it's Haitukya Pratyata. It's unmotivated and uninterrupted. Yes, Prabhu?
Using the heart.
Using the heart. Okay. All right. These are all true answers. Actually, it's all true. And the quality of our devotional service, Lord Chaitanya has written eight verses, Shikshashtakam. Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Shishi Sitaram Lakshmanuham, Shishi Gornitai Kijaya. And he has explained in one of the shlokas that our service has to be very humble. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna. Amanena Amanadena Kirtanya Sadahari. We have to have the proper mood. You know, it's not enough to chant Hare Krishna. We have to also chant Hare Krishna in the right mood. And this verse actually sets the mood. And it's true for anything that we do in devotional service, in Krishna consciousness. We can do many activities and we can perform various activities with our senses. We can do wonderful, you know, materially speaking, we can achieve wonderful results. But it's most importantly, we should perform all these things with the right mood. And the mood that Lord Chaitanya wanted us to adopt, especially in the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the mood of humility. And it's not very easy. And Prabhupada said that this is the formula for success, adopting this humble mood. And Lord Chaitanya personally demonstrated that. He always demonstrated very deep humility, although he is Krishna himself. So like that. And if we can adopt that mood of humility, and what does humility mean? That we understand our position. We understand that we are fully dependent on the Lord's mercy. We are 110% dependent. Arjuna came to that conclusion at the end of Bhagavad Gita. I have understood everything, now I'll fight. He surrendered, he completely. And Krishna said at the end of Bhagavad Gita also, just surrender, you know, and everything will be revealed to you. I will free you from, you know, all past karma, everything will be cleared and like that. So it's the Lord who has to reveal himself and who has to give his mercy, but we need to try to develop that pleasing mood, that mood of devotional service that's pleasing to him. And then he will reveal himself proportionately to our surrender. In the purport to that verse from Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Yeya Tamam Prapadyante, Prabhupada explains that Krishna reveals himself according to the person's, you know, level of understanding like that. But he only reveals himself fully as Bhagavan to the devotees, because the devotees can please the Supreme Lord. more than anybody else. So, in this verse, I thought that one word was quite significant, the word Gayanti. So, we can know the Lord only when He reveals Himself, after He is satisfied with our service. And I think Brahma here is giving a hint that the way to satisfy the Lord is to engage in glorification and His glorification. If we engage in the glorification of Krishna, then and that's the Sanskrit word is Gayanti. It's interesting. Gayanti means to sing about, and in this verse, Prabhupada, the word for word meaning is chanting glorification. So the Lord appears in this world specifically for that purpose, to give us a chance to see, to witness His pastimes, and give us some subject that we can chant and glorify. There's a nice verse from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 25th chapter. It's the chapter describing the glories of Ananta Deva. And there it says, Shukadeva Goswami says, "This manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of causeless mercy toward His devotees, He exhibits various forms which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal and He possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of His devotees," this sentence specifically, "to conquer the minds of His devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, He appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes." So this is the reason why the Lord appears in this world, to give us a chance to hear about His glories and meditate on His pastimes. I remember hearing a class many years ago by Suhotra Maharaj. Unfortunately, he's not anymore amongst us. He's one of my spiritual masters. I first received first initiation from him, and second, and then reinitiation from Radhanath Swami. And Sotra Maharaj used to be very fascinated by Ananta, Lord Ananta, and Sheshashayi. He was worshipping deities of Sheshashayi. And I remember him describing in one lecture, quite a few times, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is creating this universe. And you know, He enters the universe and lies down in the milk ocean, and He is in the state of yoga nidram. So this is a kind of mystical sleep. And Sotra Maharaj explained that Ananta Shesha, Ananta Deva, who is none other than Sankarshan or Lord Balaram, he, during the time of the creation, when Lord Vishnu lies in the ocean of milk and sleeps, Ananta Deva is constantly glorifying the Lord. You know, Ananta Deva is with he is the bedstead of Lord Vishnu, and he serves in Krishna in so many ways. Lord Balarama, soon will celebrate Balarama's appearance day. So Lord Balarama, he is constantly glorifying Krishna, also in the form of a spiritual master. The spiritual master is constantly glorifying the Supreme Lord. So Lord Vishnu is sleeping, and Lord Ananta simultaneously is glorifying him. He is glorifying all of his incarnations. And Lord Vishnu, in his sleep, he actually hears those glorifications. And each of these incarnations that Lord Ananta is glorifying, they appear in this material world as he glorifies them. And Lord Ananta is only interested in glorifying the Supreme Lord and hearing his glories. So it is said that at the end of the material manifestation, Lord Ananta becomes very angry. Why does he become angry? Because all these nonsense living entities are so stubborn and they don't want to surrender to Krishna. They don't want to hear the glories of Krishna. They're just so much caught up in illusion. And then he becomes angry and starts exuding these fires from his mouth. And then Lord Shiva, Rudra, he starts dancing on this fire, on these flames, and he spreads them all over the universe. And that's how the material manifestation is wound up. So like that, Lord Ananta is always glorifying the Supreme Lord, and because he has unlimited heads, and he, even though he's trying to, since time immemorial, to glorify Krishna, he cannot come to the end of Krishna's glories. Krishna's glories are unlimited. And Lord Ananta is not able with his unlimited heads to actually fully glorify the Supreme Lord. So like that. So Gayanti, Lord Brahma suggests that we become purified by the process of chanting and hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. And this is the way we can actually get some realization and understanding of the Supreme Lord, by engaging in the processes of hearing, chanting, and remembering. And I thought something very significant. You know, we are a preaching movement. Most of the devotees are encouraged to go out and spread, we don't say gospel, spread the holy name. But it's a kind of gospel, our gospel, the Krishna gospel. And we are trying to give people this knowledge of the Supreme Lord, of devotional service, of their real identity, and of the meaning of this whole creation like that. But before we can actually successfully do that, before one can actually successfully chant and glorify the Supreme Lord, one has to sufficiently engage in hearing. So hearing comes before glorifying and chanting. If we sufficiently engage ourselves in the process of hearing, Shravanam, we'll be able to then chant. So the hearing process is very important, and this is the main reason why this Hare Krishna movement was founded by Srila Prabhupada and by Lord Chaitanya, to give chance for the conditioned souls to come together and engage in Sankirtan, in glorification of the Supreme Lord together, in full kirtan, like that. I think I should finish by 8:30, isn't it? Okay, this is pretty much what I wanted to share with you. Thank you for your patience, and I would like to ask if anyone wants to say something in relation to this verse, or maybe someone has a question. Prayojana Prabhu.
It relates to The question you asked at the beginning, what is this Purusha Sukta confirmed mean? And it's a very interesting aspect. But actually there's Purusha and Sukta. It means, it seems to me, or I come to understand that he's Purusha. And the Sukta, he is what he experiences when we realize that actually we're Prakriti. And that is the Purusha Sukta, that we realize that he's the Supreme Lord, and that we're just Prakriti. That's confirming the nature of what he's trying to express in an expanded form in this verse, you know, how it's done in terms of devotional service. So what we're looking at is really on a spontaneous, intimate level, actually. So that's what I see. We're Prakriti, that's our realization, who we are, and and who the Purusha is, that's who he is. That's it. And it's on an intimate level of spontaneous devotional service. Whatever happens, what you see, an opportunity that comes to you, and just do it as a matter of spontaneity, rather than you know, like it's there, it's explained in different practices, you know, controlling the senses and all these things. But actually, those are like definitions that you referred to. But that's the way I came to understand it. It's we arrive at a intimate thing, like you mentioned, actually, with the month of Kartik coming up, this intimate relationship that there is between Yashoda and Lord Damodar. It's so intimate and personal, and it's what he wants. Mm. He wants that intimacy.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Okay.
For your contribution. Yes. You want to say something?
Hare Krishna. There is a sentence in the purport where Prabhupada says that when our senses appear, simply by hearing and chanting the glories and activities of the Lord's incarnation, one can certainly see within himself the identity of the Lord. So, is that the realization of the Lord happens within us? Because I always thought that we're going to see him face to face. Why Prabhupada is saying within himself?
There's a verse in... So you're asking basically how does the Supreme Lord appear within us? Is it not that we can see him eye to eye, isn't it?
I'm asking why Prabhupada is saying within himself, within us.
Mm-hmm.
Is it why he's saying that?
Do you have any suggestion?
No.
No, yourself. There's a verse, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, in Brahma Samhita, that the Lord reveals himself according to the desire of the devotee, and actually he says he takes in the heart of the devotee that form that devotee worships him in. So, for example, some devotees, they worship the Lord in the form of Lord Ram. Some devotees are attracted to him in the form of Lord Narasimha Dev. So he takes in the heart of the devotee that form in which they attracted to him and they worship him that form. And he is in the heart of hearts. So he's the Lord is within our heart. So in our spiritual form also, he's within our heart. He's always in our heart, in this present body, in the heart, that the organ heart, but also in our heart as the soul. I don't know if that clarifies anything, but this is how I understand it.
So our realization, what I understand of the Lord, will be always in the heart. Like we won't have any other realization apart from seeing him or interacting with him within our heart.
No, we will have. We will have, but the devotees are always with the Lord. They're never separated from the Lord. Because they're always thinking of him, remembering him, smaranam. So he's always with us. And we will interact with the Lord, but even if he is not present, even if we have separation from him, we'll still be with him. He's within our heart. And this particular sentence, I believe, refers to how the Lord reveals himself in our heart, because he is in our heart, so he reveals himself. Anyone else wants to answer this question? I don't know, because my wife doesn't seem satisfied with my answer. Yes, Prabhu.
I once asked one senior devotee in the manor that, you know, we as devotees were trying to think of Krishna all the time. But it's so hard to keep Krishna in the mind. And he replied, don't think about Krishna in the mind, think about Krishna in the heart. And I still don't understand that, but... but after some time, the understanding can go towards that actually the soul has a mind of its own. And the heart, in the heart, there is us. And the mind is not up in the brain, really. It's a layer of the subtle body.
Yeah.
So thinking of someone in the heart can be different from thinking of someone just intellectually.
Yes, because the heart involves also not just thoughts, but also feelings, right? Emotions, like that. Did you want to say something?
I have a question about...
Yeah? Do we have time?
So, thank you for your class, Prabhuji. This is leading into what I wanted to ask about.
Can you speak louder,
a little louder,
please?
Yeah, of course. So this is like this feeling, right? We can intellectualize. We're talking about Krishna's mercy and like how to get it. So like the right mood of devotional service is how we get Krishna's mercy. Submitting ourselves to guru, to senior devotees, is how we get the mercy. Intellectually, I can understand. I'm at the manor. I'm in like ashram. I'm standing in front of the devotees, and also the deity, and that's Krishna's mercy. I can understand that through my mind, but I can't feel that in my heart. Like how is that? How can that be developed? Like how can I sit here and feel this is Krishna's mercy, rather than just knowing that this is Krishna's mercy? Mm-hmm.
So you're asking how to bring it from the level of intellectual understanding to the level of actually realizing it in the heart, feeling it with your heart, by association. Actually, this is what we learn from the spiritual master. The spiritual master primarily teaches us the right mood of devotional service, how we can appreciate what we've been given. And if someone can adopt the mood of the spiritual master, then he can make very rapid advancement, because the spiritual master, you see, bhakti is, it's not something you can learn from a textbook. It's something that's given. Bhakti means love. And love is something you receive. You cannot, by your own endeavors alone, you cannot really get it. You receive it. So if you are, you're situated now in the association of devotees in the Bhaktivedanta manner, but that also, in order to be fully benefited by that association, we should, I'm saying you, but actually we should have the right mood of association with devotees. And the mood should be, as I said earlier, it should be a humble mood of gratitude. You see, gratitude is a very important quality of a Vaishnava, to appreciate what we've been given, and to remember where we were before we came to the association of devotees. Most of us probably have some far out horrible stories how we were before we came in the association of devotees, and what we are now. We are in this blissful association of so many Vaishnavas who are engaged, and oftentimes we forget, we may even take it lightly, but this, the opportunity to be in devotional, be engaged in devotional service in the association of devotees is just so precious and so rare. I remember when I was just, I will finish with that. When I was a young devotee, I that was quite long ago, a few decades back. You know, I was still bhakta, not initiated. And I did something, I can't even remember what I did, but I did something and I displeased my temple president. And he was not very happy with me, and he had a very kind of heavy, he gave me the sauce, as they say in English. He was telling me off. And I was very dejected. I felt that I would lose the Devotees Association. And I remember I was walking on the street and feeling so rejected and dejected. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, I'm finished, I'm lost without Devotees Association. And at that time I had an inkling of how actually amazing it is to be able to be, just to be together with devotees and you know, take prasadam together with them, be in the kirtan with them, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam together, chant the holy name. This is an amazing opportunity, and it's a gift, you know, and we should cherish it and appreciate it, and always remember where we came from and how miserable we were before we came into the association of devotees, because people are suffering. This material world is a place of suffering. I don't know if that helps, but this is what I can say. Be grateful, yeah, with a grateful heart. And you get that through the association. You can appreciate in the association. It's contagious. Devotional service is contagious. All right, I'll finish here because I think I've gone over time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jaya.